years.
Why is that? Don't they improve things?
Well, because everybody talks about software compatibility and upgradability and backward compatibility and all these things. And to my mind, I think if you can get a sound card that's like under $100, $80, I mean, we're doing one for $80 with
the Vibra.
An Opti-931, you know, which is Sound Blaster compatible in quotes. Well, that's right. Now, why pay $150 for a reasonably good sound card, or say $300-$400 for a top-of-the-line sound card, when you can get an $80 sound card and maybe even a $50 sound card, and they're starting to come down to those sort of prices.
Absolutely.
And if you've got an incompatibility, I mean, they make noise. You stick
toss
it
in. Out.
Yeah, chuck it away. It's a throwaway item, and it becomes obsolete. Well, it's lived its day and it's done its dash. And
I always thought that, but I've had so many problems with my sound card when I'm talking on the internet.
It's because you scream at people.
No,
and I think it's not a sound card problem. I think it's a bandwidth.
It's probably it could be interrupts, clashes. It could be all sorts of things, or it could be driver problems. And this was the point that I was going to say, because most of these sound cards really now run under Windows anyway. I think, to my mind, the way I see it is, as long as you've got a good driver with your sound card, one that's pretty reliable, your games and whatever are just going to go through the driver anyway, and I see somebody nodding here. And, I mean, who cares? If your driver's good and your chip is half reasonable, the thing's going to screech and be compatible with Windows anyway.
So just be careful when you start trying to run DOS-based games.
That's right. The DOS stuff could give you trouble, sure, but even in that area, the cheapo cards are getting better, and I don't know how the sound card specialists, like even Creative Labs and Aztec in Singapore, are going to
keep making profits.
That's right.
Games that don't work in Windows 95.
Yeah, I mean, the main problem that I've discovered with regard to those sorts of things is that because a lot of games were developed pre-Win 95 in terms of the IRQs and DMAs, when you break out of Win 95 and go back to DOS, you're in big trouble, because the Win 95 takes up all the good DMAs and IRQs, and the sound card can't cope with any above.
That's quite possible.
Or something weird.
The other thing is, when you're looking at expensive sound cards, I mean, there are certain people who want good sound cards. There are people who want, memory upgradable cards that want half a megabyte of RAM on board. Sure, you know, pay your $300-$400 or get specialised sound cards like a Roland, because you reckon they've got better sound generators on them. So I think there's always room for people who want a specialist product. That was the point I was going to make. But for, I think, the average Joe, something that makes a bit of noise and plug it into your speakers and keep your kids
happy. Sensational.
I think maybe don't spend $200-$300 for a sound card. The thing that you were alluding to, I think, is the choices of DMA settings and interrupt settings. That's really important. And that's the sort of problem that Rita could be getting into trouble too as well. Even earlier on in the piece, when a lot of these platinum cards and whatever came out, people used to say, hey, go for our whatever it is, green card, and it's a 16-bit card, you can use interrupts, 10, 11, 12, whatever it is. That's right. And see, people don't realise that. People say, great, I'm out of interrupts, I'll get the 16-bit card. Audio Wave, I think, used to... I think they sort of had a Sound Blaster compatible early in the piece. But you found that unless you really use the Sound Blaster settings, like ARQ7, Hex 2...
A lot of the software won't cope with the higher interrupt numbers.
The software didn't seem to want to cope. That's right.
Even Doom does not.
There you go. And I think that's a classic. That's become a classic over the years for incompatibility problems with sound cards. So, again, that's the sort of things you've got to worry about. Just because your sound card maybe can do the higher interrupts doesn't actually mean it'll work.
It doesn't mean the software will feature the higher interrupts, yeah.
It might work under maybe Windows or Windows 95. It might not work under DOS or vice versa. And that's happened a lot, and it's still going on. The other problem with IRQ7, of course, which is what the Sound Blasters used to default to, is, of course, that IRQ7 is used by your printer port. And now, with the advent of all the bi-directional printer ports and lasers talking back to you, telling you when your paper is low and all these kind of things, you actually find that the dear old sound cards can get confused and actually hang, or your printer doesn't work, or your sound card doesn't work.
Because you start printing sound.
Yeah, you start virtually printing sound.
Sorry, I was just geeking out there.
Well, it is a little bit like that. You know, the printer's answering back and the sound card thinks it's being used.
You should buy them a loopstick.
So we did actually find, when the HP LaserJets came out, we found a lot of problems with the LaserJet drivers, and even the Sound Blaster people now seem to have gone towards Interrupt 5, which is, of course, your second printer port, which most people don't have. And they're utilising IRQ5 instead of IRQ7 a lot more. The other thing about Sound Blaster compatibility, now when people say this card is Sound Blaster compatible, you really have to think about, well, Sound Blaster, which one compatible? Because there is
16, you know, Pro, 32,
or Sound Blaster Deluxe.
Yes.
and on and on it goes.
Whoops.
Well, it is a bit of a hassle because a lot of them might be just standard Sound Blaster, which is of course 8-bit mono compatible. Some of them might be Sound Blaster Pro compatible, which was 8-bit with emulated stereo.
Mm.
And some of them might really be Sound Blaster 16 compatible, which is genuine stereo. So if you had a card that said, hey, we're actually Sound Blaster 16 compatible, you might, you know, raise your eyebrows and say, oh, yeah, well, that sounds quite interesting.
It's much better.
I am told by the Creative Labs people that the ESS chip sound cards actually still emulate 8-bit Sound Blaster Pro, the emulated stereo. So they don't really work like a Sound Blaster 16, which is not really real stereo.
Now, how under Win95 do you actually check out the specs of your sound cards?
What sort of specs?
Well, how do you find out exactly what your SoundCloud does?
I thought you'd disable all drivers, reboot, add new hardware.
Yeah, what resources it uses?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, the thing that you really start to use a lot in Win95, I find, is the device manager.
Yeah.
So you really got to fall in love with your device manager and keep a really good relationship with it, because as you install your devices, your device manager is going to tell you if you've got clashes with the yellow exclamation marks. It's going to tell you what resources are being used. And sometimes you find you try to go into those resources and you can't even change them.
Frustrating.
Yep.
Is it typical with sound cards that they can't play MIDI files very well?
I find it isn't a problem, actually, but what I have found is on some of the sound cards that we've installed, all kinds of different brands, that they will actually install in Windows 95 about 4 different drivers. One for the sound, one for the MIDI, it's quite amazing. And so unless they're all installed, and perhaps even installed in the right sequence, you can find it hangs. And we also found that Windows 95, if it thinks it can spot the card, it will install the drivers that it's got. It won't even say to you, please install your disk. Do you want to install from a disk? It says, I found your card, here I go.
Oh, thanks for that, Ed. Well, hopefully people have sorted that sound card thing out. We've got to roll out of here, but we have some giveaways.
You see, need to ring in now, 9419266, but...
And give us the secret code word.
No.
You just have to be a subscriber.
No, and also, we're going to say today, you must tell us the distributor that we had in today with all these games.
And Dust is not Mind Games.
No, Dust M ends in E, and we must thank Scott from that company for coming in. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone that came on by into it, and... gave their all. We've enjoyed the last hour. We hope you have. We'll see you next week.
And we've got 2 copies of Warwind, 1 copy of Steel Panthers 2, 1 copy of Necrodome, and 1 copy of the Definitive Wargame Collection Volume 2. So call now.
Yes. See you next week. Game. About 10 minutes to...